Now, there are many sight loss charities around the country, and RNIB likes to work with a lot of the sight loss charities. And there's lots of events that happen on your own doorstep, and it's quite good to take advantage of them sometimes. I'm joined now by Paul Quigley, who joins us from Manchester, our White Cane Warrior. Hello, sir.
Hello, Simon.
And have you survived the winter snows that we've been having?
Nope. Thus far, nearly no, actually. We didn't get the beast for the East in Manchester this year. So far, so good.
Fantastic. Mm. Now, Henshaw's is a charity that's is quite near to you, isn't it?
It certainly is, yep.
And you were at an event recently with theirs, weren't you?
That's right. There was an open day last week, and I think that was a good day. It was a great turnout. A lot of Manchester turned up to open up the Tameside Sight Centre that Henshaw's has now recently taken over. And it was very well attended, and loads of VI, visually impaired people, and members of staff from Henshaw were there with technology. And it was a nice, sort of it was a coffee morning, really, I suppose, but it kind of extended on all the way through to them in the afternoon. And it was great sort of community building. Yeah.
Have you customarily been a person that tends to go to events like this over the years?
Personally, not because, until relatively recently, my own personal circumstances changed, as you know, so I was within a domestic setup where I kind of didn't feel I needed that sort of group support. But I think now that I'm actually trying to do this independent living method, with sight loss, then I find it increasingly useful to have such, kindred spirits, I suppose you'd call them, to share experiences and knowledge and life chances with them. So increasingly more so now. Yes, absolutely. In fact, Simon, there's an event that Henshaw's in Tameside are having today, which I actually had to forego so that I could be with you guys here today. So I'm not getting my Nescafe and ginger nuts when I could be having them, scoffing them down. But no, I'm here with Simon Pawley on the Afternoon Edition on RNIB Connect Radio. So yeah, I mean, yeah, we're always there are lots of different groups that they're getting together now. And they had a games afternoon. They've got some rambling. They've got walking. There are all sorts of new activities they're starting up. And not least, obviously, it's this sort of semi sort of counselling that they do as well to help you with day-to-day living, lots of different techniques on how to, you know, chop onions without cutting yourself and all that good stuff, which you wouldn't otherwise get to know, really.
And I think sometimes when somebody says, do you fancy going to one of these events, you think, like, what am I going to learn? But I think, as you mentioned, let's take rambling for a start. You know, that's something that possibly people who are losing sight would think, well, I wouldn't even occur to me to go in a rambling group. And yet it's very popular.
It certainly is. In fact, it's the most popular society out of all of the different groups that the Henshaw's and others organise, because it's that sort of camaraderie, I suppose, because we can get a bit like when you're elderly, you can get quite isolated sometimes. So I think that's what's particularly useful, is for people to get together that way. And you'd be surprised at how much you do actually learn these little tidbits. But I think, again, I think the thing is about these groups is not so much, I think a lot of people expect to go with a takeaway. You know, they'll get something, not a Chinese takeaway, but, you know, they say, what are the takeaways from today's event? And I think the thing is about what you can actually put into the event as well that's particularly good is that, you know, everyone has their own story to tell, no matter how insignificant or trivial they may think it is. It isn't, in fact, because, as you quite rightly said, people are always meeting sight loss every day, you know, whether it's glaucoma or traffic injuries, not just genetic ones that like I've got and others like myself, like RP, which is something that you're born with. It's a genetic disease that you inherit. That's something that, you know, over years you can sort of almost, but not quite, get used to the idea of it arriving. Whereas when you suddenly have sudden sight loss, that must be an incredible shock to the system. Now, where else apart from the, you know, hospital when you get discharged, having been told the dreadful news that you never see again or whatever, where do you go? I mean, there's very little. Social services can't really help you. They can help you with practical things like they did with me, with white cane training, with braille learning. And then, of course, they can help you guide you towards the Guide Dogs for the Blind Association. But beyond that, the actual day-to-day living aspect, I think, to my knowledge, there is only somewhere like Henshaw's, and obviously RNIB helps on that as well, but mostly Henshaw's and that sort of situation where other people sharing, well, you know, and just talking it through so you don't feel so alone. So I think that's particularly where the strengths of these little Henshaw meetups are happening now. So yeah.
Now, whenever you are in the country, you'll probably find that there are groups like this. And I think a thing that I've come across over the years is that losing sight and having to deal with things like that can really sap your confidence, especially initially about doing things. And one thing I think we always have to remember is that whatever you knew before you started losing your sight loss, you might have been an engineer, whatever it is you did, you still are that person. You still know those things.
Yes.
You haven't changed. There's just certain things that perhaps you have to adjust to compensate for the lack of sight, but you're still the same person. So you've still got that same sort of life experience that you can share with other people.
Absolutely, absolutely. I think that sense of loss of self is a huge blow to a lot of people. And it's true to some extent. I mean, I've never been able to drive a car, for example, but those that did, I mean, it must be a huge wrench, that independence loss where you suddenly back down to Shanks's pony going on foot. It is very difficult, you know, and I think that sudden change in life, the way that you live your life, is huge. It's absolutely huge. You know, simple things suddenly became incredibly difficult. And I think, you know, where else do you go to say, you know, is it like this? Is this how it's going to be? And of course, everybody has different sight conditions. You've got a whole range of different people with different fields of vision and different acuity vision. And not everyone, even within a set, you know, room of so-called VI blind people, that everyone's story is different. And I think it's a very useful exercise to get together with other people. A lot of people would shy away from that situation, think, oh no, you know, I have to live with that day to day. Why would I want to go and immerse myself in more of the same? Well, it isn't anything like that, because at the end of the day, everybody, not just VI people, have issues. A lot of people, I mean, as we know, and the news we hear it every day, things like mental health. I mean, people are living with Alzheimer's and Parkinson's, and the carers and the families that have to support the people around them. It's a huge problem. I mean, life isn't a cakewalk. It just isn't. We see it particularly differently. Well, we don't see it at all, obviously, with blind people, but we experience it particularly, because sight is a huge thing. And obviously people with hearing loss and mobility loss, they're also huge life changes. But for people who can't see, and if you lose that, it is particularly difficult. And yes, you're absolutely right. Everyone has their own story to tell, so everyone can contribute. It's not like anyone is any more or less equipped to talk about these things. We're all just as everything we say is valid, and because it can help someone else. And if it can help someone else, then I think then it's a job done, really, because it's all about getting through with the quality of life. You know, it is about the quality of life that you live after sight loss. That's the most important thing, as well as being, of course, treated as an equal person under the law, because of the Equalities Act 2010, people, check it out.
I was chatting recently because I think it's very easy to start living in ever-decreasing circles when you're living with sight loss, because there's things that you used to do, and then perhaps you make an effort to begin with, and then if you don't have the confidence, you think, right, I'm not doing that again. And driving was one of those ones that you've touched on there, that it wasn't until really recently how much I realised my life has changed. I stopped driving in 2004. Yeah. And that would be an aspect or a reason to go to one of these events, because things like technology has moved on so much, and so many of the blind and partially sighted community are really good at using technology for travel. They also know how to get in touch with travel assistance if you're going, you know, to stations and airports. And it's a good reason, a practical reason. You might think, look, I want to go on holiday. I'm going to go to Devon on holiday. I have no idea how to do it. Let's go to one of these events and talk to some folk and see if I can get some information and do a bit of networking.
Absolutely. And you've touched on another good point there as well, Simon. I think the thing is about blind and VI people is that lack of confidence that people experience where they refuse or don't want to go out anymore because they don't feel like they're the old self that they used to be. I think that's important that they do go out and reinvent themselves and get out there into the community, because, and this is the point I'm going to make here, that getting out into the community and letting the rest of the world see us, I think, is an enormously important thing for us to do. We can't just hide away. Otherwise, people just think we don't exist. That's why I'm really proud of getting out on the street with my white cane and saying, yeah, you know, I exist. And that is the most important thing. To get back to a point you said earlier on, you know, we're still the people we always were. I mean, nothing's changed other than we have to change the way in which we live. But who we are is exactly the same. We're just as important and valid, and we can contribute exactly the same as we ever did. And I think the thing's about that we have to be seen literally by others. We have to be out there so that people think, you know, there are VI people there, and there must be hundreds of thousands of registered blind people. I think they call it severely sight impaired now, but to me, you know, you're either blind or you're partially sighted, as well. You know, and we should be out there. And I think a lot of people, you know, hats off to them literally for getting out there and showing the world that, you know, whether you're in a wheelchair or you're elderly with your Zimmer frame, and or, you know, your VI with your cane or your dog, you know, we've got to be seen so that people go, yeah, these people are absolutely equal members of society, and we need to cater for their needs, whether that's, you know, special, you know, access methods to get in and out of buildings, for different ways of being able to access text, you know, whether it's, you know, audio in different situations. I mean, how many times, you know, we talked about this before, haven't we, where you go into banks and you have to stumble around to try and find somebody who can help. Yes, you know, next, and you get to the counter and they're completely, utterly clueless on how to deal with somebody with VI. They just haven't got a clue. And everyone just seems to muddle through. I mean, they haven't nailed it yet, despite the fact that under the law, you know, we have access to all of these so-called premises and whatever, and there is a legal obligation. We need to be out there. We need to, you know, get what do they call it now? We need to sort of come outside of our comfort zones and go and push the envelope, go do it, and make these people, you know, adjust to what we need, our needs are, because we are valid. And I think that's the thing about, you know, when you can't drive anymore and you need to be out there just to be an equal, valid member of society, that we make sighted people and the corporate world particularly step up to the plate.
And have a bit of sense of humour. When I go into my local pub, sometimes some of the guys might be looking at the racing results. And obviously, most of the regulars in there know that I have a vision impairment. So sometimes I'll grab the results upside down and slap them to my face and say, let me have a look across this and just get you right up to date there. And, you know, we all laugh about it, you know, as long as we don't do it every time I go in. But, you know, it's just because it is sometimes, I think it's a pride thing. I get infuriated when I do things that I think, oh, goodness me, I must have looked like a right idiot there.
Yes.
But sometimes it just goes with the territory.
Oh, it does. I mean, I remember as my sight got, you know, worse and worse over the years, if I ever dropped anything on the floor, you know, like I just pluck something out of thin air. Maybe you're in a pub or somewhere and you drop something on the floor, a menu or something, or anything really, or something hits the floor and you look down and you just, it's not there. It's just invisible. And you kind of get down on you bend over and you're ruffling your hand across the carpet, hitting people's feet and sticky beer on the floor and fag ends or whatever. So anyway, yeah, you know, you're groveling around on the floor and people, they kind of look at you as if you're mad. I remember thinking, I can't see it, you know, and eventually maybe somebody says, it's there, it's there. And you go, well, if I could see it was there, I would pick it up. But I don't, where's there, left, right? And it's just insane. And it is that level of confidence. You think, well, I don't want to put myself in that situation again. So you kind of shy away from it, or, you know, you just don't do it, or I don't need to stick Velcro to your fingers, so you never drop anything. It's not possible, is it? It happens, you know. So anyway, yeah, it can really dent you. That's where courage, I think, comes in. I think you've just got to say, this is something that's happening to me. You know, I have the disability. The disability doesn't have me. And as you say, a sense of humour can help enormously. But what I think you shouldn't do with humour, though, Simon, is actually to then trivialise it and make it into a joke. Then you become the sort of the fool of the situation. I think that you've got to guard against that as well. It's all very well to have a sense of humour in order to, as a defence mechanism, if you like, as you quite rightly said. But at the end of the day, not to make yourself into a buffoon, because then I think that can, you can actually undermine yourself. Then you can do what, you know, self-sabotage in order to get through the situation. I think then you sort of brace yourself every time to, oh, I'm going to have to tell a few gags tonight to get through it. No, why should you? Why the hell should you or anyone else have to do that? I think that's unfair. It's a discriminatory practice. I think people think, you know, if they don't understand that you've got that disability and then something like that happens, I think they should have a lot more humility and try to be empathetic, if not sympathetic, obviously. But if they can be empathetic and not treat you like you're somehow some sort of untermenschen second class citizen, I think that's massively important. So we need to educate the sighted community as well in that. I don't see why we should have to have a bit of a belly laugh with them, just to sort of get us through the event so that we want to go and do more. I think we should be equal. So, you know, yeah.
I agree with that. I just think sometimes it's really hard for people to understand, because people look at me and they'll say, well, goodness me, I didn't know you had a visual impairment. And then perhaps I recognise them. One day, I'm using my pub as an example again because of the lighting and stuff. So I might see them across one day. I might be sitting at the station, which happened to me a couple of months ago, and my friend Tom came up, and he was right in my face. He's like, hello, it's Tom. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, you know, before I recognised him. And I think it's hard for people to understand. You know, it's like either you've got sight or you haven't. Yes. And it's not, no, there's that so it's kind of raising awareness and educating at the same time. But anyway, we're not going to solve all these problems today, but Paul and I just thought we would suggest that, you know, if you get a chance to have a go at going out to one of these events, you get some tea and biscuits anyway, and it's nice to meet some folk, and you never know who you're going to meet.
You don't.
I mean, you might meet up with Paul Quigley, but on the other hand, you might be lucky.
I love you too, Simon. You know that, honey.
So take advantage of these things if you get a chance. And we'd love to hear from you. Get in touch here. It's radio@rmib.org.uk. Or, of course, if you're on Facebook, you can search for us there. But in the meantime, Paul Quigley, always a pleasure and an adventure. We will catch up with you very soon.
Thank you very much, Simon. Take care.